To get to. God, I wish we could do like 90 hours from the Super Bowl. We're live in Houston. It is the Budweiser Sports Forum. It's all brought to you by Toyota. And we welcome back an old dear friend and one of my favorite people in the business to watch. And I'm very upset because they're giving me NFL Network here in high definition. Here, it's right behind me. I've been watching it for 4 days. And when I get home on Monday, Steve Sable, I won't have it. I remember when MTV came out. I said, I want my MTV. I want my NFL Network. What's going on here?
What do you mean you don't have it? Don't you have a DirecTV?
I don't have DirecTV because I don't need the NFL package on weekends because I'm always at a game.
I see.
It would be crazy
for me to get it. Okay, because that's the only way you can get it right now. They're going to expand, I'm sure, into the cable market within the next year. But as it is now, you have to be, you know, it's on 212 on DirecTV.
You're a good Philly boy. Get this Comcast thing going here.
Yeah, well, I wish they'd do it, too, because we think it's a great, great network for people who, like myself, who just love pro football and can tune, you know, turn on that 212 whenever you want, and you've got either people talking about football or playing football or the history of football or the current events of football. It's really...
that's what you are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's who you are. You know? I mean, you are the librarian. You're the storekeeper for all things involving the history of this game.
At my age, I think you could say the crypt keeper.
We did so many broadcasts up there at the Vault. It was a dream come true for me. I mean, I talked to you 7-8 years ago and said I wanted to do shows from NFL Film. Next thing I know, I'm at Sporting News, and we're doing 2 years from the Vault up there with Baldinger.
You should be in the new... did you do it from the new building? I think you were from the old building.
I never did it from the new building.
The new building is really a shrine to not only the NFL, but football at every level.
Well, I was just amazed when I walked into the old building that you could house all of your Emmys. You had all the Emmys. It was like the Emmy room. There's nothing else in there, but it was a bunch of Emmys.
Well, that's a tribute, really, to the talent and the good people that we've had over the last 40 years. Unfortunately, most of them are still with me.
You know, I'd rather talk about current events. Every time I have you on, I feel like I could soak you dry for 3 hours worth of stuff. But where we are right now with this new concept of the NFL Network and the kind of programming that you bring out, I got to say, football ends for me on Monday. Monday goes away, and I cry, and I wait for minicamp, and I wait for draft day. We don't have a damn draft pick this year because we traded it to get bowlers. So draft day is kind of – we're going to play Texas Hold'em instead of draft day. And then minicamp comes, but September can't come quick enough. This league, they really leave you wanting more, like the old vaudeville acts. They leave you wanting more.
Esther, that's one of the reasons why I think the game is so popular is that, as you said, the old vaudeville saying is leave them laughing. And I think it's important. It makes that every game means something. Every play in every game means something. And when you get to the Super Bowl, you realize everything that's gone before. Pete Rozelle always used to say that a football season is like a novel. It's got to have an interesting beginning, some twists and turns in the middle, and then a surprise ending. And when you have a team like the Panthers in here, you know, that's sort of that surprise ending. Now, maybe they take it another step and become, you know, part of the history of the sport if they win. But to me, the reason the game is so popular is it isn't overexposed.
A couple of things, and I bring up some hot points. Instant replay. You're in the video business. What is your thought of instant replay? What would your dad have thought, and what would Pete Rozelle have thought? I mean, the forefathers of this game, that we've now got instant replay, and, God, it just doesn't feel like it works. I mean, Bill and I go round and round on this all the time, but if the system's not working and it's not really correcting the stuff it needs to correct, why?
Well, George Young always used to say that with instant replay, you're not eliminating human error. You're just moving it all to another. Another person is going to look at the play and make an evaluation.
Well, he was from Baltimore. He's a wise man, obviously.
To get the call right, I think that's important. But it also takes away a certain amount of the spontaneity of the game, which I don't like. But I don't know. I'm a fence sitter on this one. I really can't come out. I could make, you know, some lukewarm points for keeping it, and probably some lukewarm points for getting rid of it. There are times that I think, boy, I'm glad we've got it, and other times I think, just damn, signal a touchdown, and you know, everybody's waiting to see whether the play is good or not. I don't know. That lack of that spontaneous decision take something away from the game, but on the other hand, if you get the play right and the ruling right, that's probably more important.
So many years I come down here, it's 11 years now, I look up in these banners and I see, you know, the Rams and the Titans, and I'm thinking, bleh. And 4 years later, you know, if the feels like a Super Bowl. And the Panthers are here. It was the same way when the Ravens were here. Anytime you get a first-time team, man, it's a little, you know, if it's not the Redskins or the Steelers or the Cowboys, the legendary-type teams that were doing it in the 70s, it smells a little strange.
Well, I think what you're talking about is how the Super Bowl itself has changed because of free agency and because of parity. In years past, maybe we go back to the early 90s, the Super Bowl was a celebration of sustained greatness on the field.
You 49ers, saw, Cowboys.
Exactly.
Sure.
And even in the losing end, you always, the Bills were there, or the Broncos. It was the same teams. Now, the Super Bowl is an example of organizational excellence for one or two seasons. The ability of a coach and a general manager to make shrewd decisions when it comes to re-signing free agents, to make the right trades, to play the free agency market, to manipulate the salary cap, and that might only, all those little elements might only coalesce for 1 year and then they disappear. So the Super Bowl itself, the whole nature of what we're watching is different than it was because the great, the dynasties are no more. Although you could say that if the Patriots win, winning two Super Bowls in the last 3 years, that's a neo-dynasty certainly. But the landscape has changed because of the salary cap and free agents.
Well, the Rams came a drive away from two out of three, and the Patriots now have been here three times in the last decade, which we're not seeing, like you said, Bills and Broncos, where they're going to get here three and four times
but
in a row.
Things happen so quickly that it's people don't, like right now, when you look, Nestor, at what the Patriots have achieved, you're looking at the second longest winning streak, single season winning streak in the history of the game. They beat eight teams with winning records during that winning streak. You look at what the Dolphins beat, just two teams with winning records.
And there were some really stinker teams back in that era
of
football.
You compound that by, here's a coach that's had 42 different starters during this winning streak, playing all these great teams, good teams. If they win the Super Bowl, I would have to take a good look at this season and start to say this might be one of the greatest, not necessarily greatest teams, but greatest achievements of any team in the modern era of the game. It's really remarkable, but I just don't think people, it's sunk in yet because things happen so fast and there's so many upsets there's nobody on the Patriots. There are no real big names. It's a team.
Yet.
Because the Super Bowl is going to make the names. People say, well, there are no big names. The names don't make the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl will make them the names.
Steve Sable, NFL Films, visiting us. A lot of folks don't know where that great accent of yours comes from, but it is a Philadelphia area.
It is
Philly. It's South Jersey. And you've been there. And whether you're a league guy, but you wake up in Philly every day. You read the Philly papers. You watch the Philly TV. And you are amongst Eagles fans. Devastating. I mean, it just absolutely devastating.
Yeah. Well, it was a strange season for the Eagles because the way they started out, and the fans in Philadelphia are so volatile and fickle, and as a Philadelphia myself, I even might say disloyal at times because they're not continuously behind the team. To me, great fans are there when you're down by two touchdowns and they're cheering and they're encouraging you.
Hey, would the Bills or the Vikings even have a fan now if it was just about, or the Chiefs? Would they even have a fan base if it were just about winning a Super Bowl?
George Allen, when he coached the Redskins, loved to play the Eagles. And he would say to his team that we get up here in Philadelphia, if we can score first, this is going to be like a home field for us. There will be no home field advantage because these fans will turn on the team, will turn on the Eagles in an instant. The objective, our game plan, is to get ahead. And then
it becomes a home game.
Yeah. And Ron Jaworski will tell you there are times that he would go out and play and have six, seven consecutive completions and have throw one incompletion and the fans would boo him. But having said that, about the fans in Philadelphia are loyal in that their money is where their mouth is. They pay they sell out. They've sold out for 20 years. The fans love the team, and they pay to see the team, and with that money, they feel they have the right to cheer or to boo. But this season's Eagles, to me, were a team that started out so poorly, and everyone was in a state of shock, that it wasn't until the 10th or 11th game that they started to earn the fans' respect. But for whatever reason, and I can't explain it, they've earned the fans' respect, but not yet the fans' affection. and that's important for a fan base.
How long have you been in Philly? How many years?
My whole life.
Okay. Yeah. 38 Super Bowls. They've only been in one. They haven't won any. I mean, there comes a point where it hurts, and you care that much, you know?
Well, the fans do care, and they're frustrated. But, you know, to me, they have to examine themselves, too. Maybe if they came to the games and cheered in those difficult times instead of booed. But the thing is that the fans in Philadelphia have taken on a personality of their own. I mean, the vet and now the link, the fans themselves are part of the experience. And that sometimes is good, or sometimes, in the Eagles' case, I think it's bad, because there's so much attention focused on the Philadelphia fan. And when are they going to boo? And when are they going to boo, that the fans themselves forget that affects the guys on the field. That affects the way Donovan plays, or Dawkins plays, or Deuce Staley plays. And I just wish that for one or two years, we'd eliminate the booing. And just concentrate on the positive.
We talk about that every Monday morning after we lose a home game.
And it's funny, and everybody laughs, but if you were a player and you were on that field and you heard that, that's disheartening. And it's a shame, because the Eagles could have been here, and it could have been an incredible season for them. But it was a great season. But as I said, it was strange in that they captured the people's respect, but there wasn't the affection that you'd expect in that between the fans and the team.
But it is amazing when I think of really rabid fans: Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Kansas City, Philadelphia. I've just named four franchises that haven't won in 25 years, won the championship in 25 years, and yet their fans are the first ones that either get beer muscles or whatever it is that are going to stand up and fight and say, you can't say my Steelers suck, or whatever,
But suffering and the angst and frustration is part of almost the Philadelphia culture. If you look at, for instance, if you look at New England, which is a Puritan society, when it was founded by Puritans, they believed in torturing and killing for the religion. In Philadelphia,
my wife's from New England, watch out.
But in Philadelphia, it's the Quaker city, and the Quakers believed in suffering and dying for their religion. So the suffering and that ability to withstand misfortune, that's part of the character and the essence of the city. So in a way, it probably fits that if any group of fans were willing to suffer for their team, it would be those in the Quaker City.
Steve Sable is here. We're going to wrap things up with you. Just last thoughts on the game. Cats, Pats, looks on the outside is a game that is saying the point spread 7. Boy, I wouldn't want to bet against the Panthers the way they played, the way they played on the road. This looks like a very as evenly a matchup as I think we can get at this point with a team that's won 14 games. I give the Panthers every chance in the world to win this football game.
I do, too. And I just saw Lord of the Rings last week, and Gandalf in the beginning is talking to the little hobbits, and he said that no quest is ever fulfilled in the way one imagines. And I think that could be a theme for this Super Bowl. And I have a feeling that the Panthers, in spite of the underdog, are going to distinguish themselves really well. For one thing, the Patriots have beaten two quarterback-driven teams with Manning and with McNair. The Panthers are not a team driven by their quarterback. And when you devise all these great defensive schemes, they might work against the passing game, but in order to stop the running game, you got to get in the trenches and you got to dominate physically. I don't think the Panthers are the kind of team that are going to get pushed around in that situation. I think you're going to see a very close game that's going to be decided by a big play. And people have been dismissing the Panthers as a sort of a monotonous, earthbound offense, but when you look at statistics, they've had more big plays of 20 yards or more than every team with the exception of six. They've had more big plays than the Colts. They're ranked seventh in the league in big plays over 20 yards. I think that kind of play might decide this game. And I think the Panthers can win it. I really do.
You love cinema, don't you?
That's right.
You do love cinema, drama. That's what it's all about. Steve, it's always a pleasure to see you. I got a lot of places to visit, a lot of people to see.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time, as always.
Good to talk to you,
Steve
as always.
Sable from NFL Films hanging out with us. We are the Budweiser Sports Forum. We will throw it back to a break. We'll come back. We'll grab some traffic. We got a lot of things ahead. We will smell what The Rock is cooking. I think The Rock is headed over next. Stay with us. It is the Budweiser Sports Forum, brought to you by Toyota. We're live at Super Bowl 38 in Houston.